Anyone got a song?
Be a good night for a debut. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Chronicles, chapter number 21. If you're listening, it's good to have you listening to us. Good to have you here, those who come tonight. Had several prayer requests. Want to keep lifting those up in prayer and praying for those. In chapter 21 of 2 Chronicles, we get into the life of Jehoram. Now, Jehoram was the eldest son of Jehoshaphat. And I want to read chapter 21, and then I want to bring out a couple of thoughts. I saw a little phrase there that I want to bring out, and I want you to think about tonight. But let's begin reading, and then I'll come and make some commentary on the scripture. In chapter 21, now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, and the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, Jehiel, and Zechariah, Azariah, Mishael, and Zephatiah. All these were sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things, with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram, because he was firstborn. Now, when Jehoram was risen up in the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself, slew all his brethren with a sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Howbeit the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, and as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. In his days the Edomites revolted from under the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. Then Jehoram went forth with his princes and all his chariots with him, and he rose up by night and he smote the Edomites which compassed him in and the captains of the chariots. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand, because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah, and he caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication, and compelled Judah thereunto. And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of David, thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, thy father, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but hast walked in the way of the king of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring, like to the whoredom of the house of Ahab, and also hast slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and all thy goods. And thou shalt have a great sickness by disease of thy bowels until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. Moreover, the king stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of Philistines and of the Arabians and of the Ethiopians. And they came up to Judah and brake into it and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house and his sons also and his wives. And there was never a son left him save Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. And after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels and with an incurable disease. It came to pass that in the process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of sickness, so he died of sore diseases. And his people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. And he departed without being desired. Howbeit, they buried him in the city of David, but not in sepulchres of the kings. Now, if you look on down, his son, in verse 3, it says he walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counsel to do wickedly. And remember, she was the daughter of Ahab. It says, wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, and they were with his counselors until after the death of his father to his destruction. Now, look back, if you would, in verse number 20. I want you to underline a little phrase, and I want you to think about this little phrase. The Bible says that he departed without being desired. That means that no one missed him because of anything that he profited or anything that he was advantageous to the people that was around him. He was of no help. He made no strides. He did not make Israel or Judah any better. He did not make his children any better. His family did not benefit from him. No one benefited because of his life. Tonight, I want you to think about departing without being desired. And I guess the question I want you to think about is, what will you leave behind? Now, I want you to notice a couple things first before I do, just about the text. And I just want to take that phrase and I want to bring a thought out of it. But Jehoshaphat, if you look back in your Bibles in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was a king. He was not a perfect king, but he started out very good. The Bible says in chapter 17 in verse number 3 and 4, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments, not after the doings of Israel. So Jehoshaphat started out good, and he did a lot of good things for Israel. But look back in your Bibles, if you would, in chapter 20, in verse number 35. He started well, but he didn't end well. The Bible says, and after this, the Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, joined himself with Ahaziah of Israel, who did very wickedly. Now, notice that he joined up with the king of Israel and did very wickedly after that toward the end. Now also, the Bible tells us in verse number 3 of our text in chapter 21 that Jehoshaphat, he left his children a lot of silver and gold, fenced cities, different things that he gave them. Verse number 3. Now, and then of course he left the throne to Jehoram to set and to reign over the kingdom. But now think about this a moment. And I see this happening a lot. Jehoshaphat left his children a lot of material things, but he didn't leave his children a lot of spiritual things. And Jehoram came behind him and did evil. The Bible says in verse number 4 that he slew all of his brethren. And Elijah, the letter from Elijah said they were better than he was. But Jehoshaphat evidently had taken time and thought that his biggest obligation was to make sure that his children had riches, make sure that they had things. I see that in today's society. I see people beating themselves to death to try to give their kids things, and they're giving them all kinds of physical things, but they're not giving them any spiritual things. And I look and I wonder where they think their children are going to be in another generation. What do they think is going to come out of raising them and benefiting them? And you say, well, I want my children to have nice cars and nice house, and I want them to have this. Those things may be fine in themselves, but what I'm afraid we're doing is we're robbing them of anything spiritually. I mean, look here. You can look at the house of God, and you got to ask yourself, where are people? What are they trying? What are they expressing in their absence? What's going on? And so here Jehoshaphat, he started out well, but he began to make some wicked alliances. Then Jehoram come in, and of course he not only destroyed and killed all his brethren, but he also killed all the princes. Then in verse number 6, the Bible tells us that he married Ahab's daughter. Now you would think, if he had any teaching at all, and you know, so many times I try to tell these young people, be wise, be patient. Brother Carr's daughter was talking to me yesterday up there, and I was telling her, be wise, be patient, take your time. Be slow in choosing a mate. So many times we get in such a hurry, we just want to rush, and we want to grab. And we want to just grab something before spending time and getting to know who and what they are. And what we do is we destroy our families because of unwise decisions. And so here we find Jehoram, instead of Jehoshaphat spending time preparing his sons and preparing them for when he would depart and preparing them for spiritual things, he prepared them for physical things. Now, I have no doubt, knowing Jezebel and Ahab, that probably their daughter was very attractive. That's probably got what got Jeroboam's mind, because that was what he was looking for in life. But there's a whole lot more to life than that. Then you find out that when he died at the age of 40, his wife raised his son to do even more wickedly than what he'd done. And so therefore he got what he asked for. He went to the house of Ahab for a wife, and he got what Ahab was. And then you find out how wickedly that it caused, and how much pain it caused the people around him. But tonight I want you to think about, what do you want to leave behind? Are you going to depart without being desired? I've often wondered about certain things, and I want to share a couple of thoughts with you tonight. There's some things that I want to leave my children and my friends and my family. Number one, I won't leave them, like Brother Roger did this morning, I won't leave them with the knowledge of where I was converted, where I got saved. I want them to know where I got saved. I want them to know when I got saved. I want them to hear from my lips. I can't tell you how many times I get to the point someone asked me to preach a funeral. I said, well, tell me about when your dad was saved. I don't know. Well, was he saved? I think so. He went to church over here sometimes, or he used to go over here. Usually that's what I hear. Well, about 20, 30 years he hadn't been to church, but he used to go here. But you know what? You need to rehearse in the ears of your children, your grandchildren, your friends. They need to know that you were saved. You need to make that confession before men. Men need to know where you stand on the subject of Christ. You shouldn't be ashamed when you go out there to say, I'm a Christian. I've been saved. This is who I am. This is what I am. Boys and girls, this is who I am. If you don't want a Christian, then find someone else. And so be wise. Be patient. And so therefore you need to leave testimony of your conversion. Not only that, but not only did I want to confess, but I also wanted to confess before men after I got saved when I was baptized. I follow the Lord in baptism because baptism is confession to men that I have decided to follow Jesus, that I've been saved. And because of that, I wanted to follow the Lord in baptism and do what he commanded me to do. And so therefore I was baptized. I can go back to the time and I try to tell them where I was baptized. When we go over and play London over there, we drive right by the church in which I was baptized. And I try to tell all the young people every time we pass, that's where I was baptized. after I got saved. And I wanted people to know, but I wanted a witness of confession after I've been saved. I want friends and family to hear my confession. I want them to know, and each of you should. And you know, each of you should take time sometimes when God moves upon your heart to just stand, sort of like Brother Roger did this morning, and just stand and said, I just want to share with you when I got saved. I just want to share and let that be known. There are some people that I know that I've never heard their testimony. I've never heard them confess openly. Somebody said, well, I'm a little backward. Still, you ought to be able to stand up and confess Christ and say, boy, he saved me. And I just want to thank the Lord that he saved me at this place and this time. But my witness of salvation comes more than just my confession. Also, I want them to know that I had a communion with the Lord. When I look back in the Bible, look if you would in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, keep your finger there in our text. In 1 John chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 24, or 23, let's go with that first. He said, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. And he gave us commandment, and he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. I want people to know that the Spirit of God has led me. It gives me direction. It leads me in what to do. You know, when I got saved, I didn't have to have anyone to really tell me a whole lot about the fact that I need to follow the Lord in baptism. I had the Spirit. I didn't have to have someone tell me that I should come to attend church. Now, I had it more fortunate than some people because I was raised around that, and so I knew those things, and I understand the importance of instruction. But you know, there was something inside that made me want to come to church. And so therefore, being saved, I had that, and I wanted people to see a witness of communion with me. I wanted my family to understand that in my life, I didn't run scared all the time. I wasn't afraid. That I had comfort. I had a comforter. I had someone with me. And every time that something didn't rise up, I didn't go to pieces. And I didn't know where to turn. But whenever something rises up, I know exactly where to turn. I'd go and I'd have access with God. I'd be able to take it to the Lord. Many, many times on each of you, issues that's come up in your life. Where can I go? But to the Lord. And so we turn and we go directly to the Lord. But I want my family and I want my friends to hear me pray. I want them to know that I pray. I want them to know that they believe. Or I believe in the issue of prayer. I want them to know also the importance of the Word of God. I want them to know that I believe the Bible. I want them to know that not only I believe the Bible, but I have trusted my eternal fate to it. I also want them to know about the Bible themselves. God didn't command me to have other people to teach my children about the Lord. God commanded me to teach my children about the Lord. And so therefore I have an obligation to tell them about the Lord, to witness to them, and to encourage them to seek the Lord. And encourage them of the benefits of the Lord and the benefits of his life. I'm so glad that I have the Word to depend upon. And I want my friends and my family to see that I've trusted in the Word enough that I've stepped out because of the Word. I've stood on things because of the Word. I've lived because of the Word. I don't want to die and not have made a difference. I want to have tried not only make a difference in my life, I want to try to make a difference in your family's life. I want someone to miss me. I want a church where my seat will be empty. I want a church where they will know that I am not there. And when they see my seat empty, they will remember. And therefore, they will recognize the fact that I was faithful into the house of God. And they know when I'm not there that something is wrong and something's going on. And we all should want that witness. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't set that example before your children, you see how faithful your children are to follow behind you. I know many of my family, I know where they get their faithfulness at. They saw it through our parents. Our parents not spoke about being faithful to the Lord. They were faithful to the Lord. They were not perfect. They failed in different ways. But they did set the example. And church was not something that you could give or take. When it was church time, there was no question in our house where we would be. And they didn't sit and beg us. They didn't ask us if we wanted to go. We didn't have a choice. And by, as a matter of fact, they usually just said one time, we're going, and if they had to say it more than once, we were glad to go. Amen? We were glad to go. But the point being is this. I want my friends and family to know that I love the church. I want them to know that I loved it enough that I contributed to it. I didn't grudgingly give when I give things to the church. I gave because I love the Lord and I love His work. I want to support missions because I love missions. I love missionaries. I'm wanting to get some other missionaries come through here sometime soon. I've been trying to wait till some of this settles down a little bit. But I want to see some more missionaries come through. We got one of the letters from one of the Filipino missionaries, and I just rejoiced when I saw it. And he had pictures of about 10 or 12 or 15 that he was baptizing in the ocean. And I was thinking, what a marvelous thing to see him still being saved. And so we need to understand that church ought to be a part of our lives. Whenever we depart, and by the way, all of us are going to depart, and some of us are thinking about it a lot more than what others are. Because I tell you, you get thinking about things after a while. I look at some of these and some of the seats that are missing right now. And you know, I hope to see them back. I hope to see them filling their seats again. And I thought how sad it would be. Now this pandemic has gone on since March. Some we haven't seen since March. I thought how sad it would be. I remember one lady one time come, and she sat back there in back, and I introduced myself to her. And I asked her who she was, and she said, oh, I come to church here. I said, well, I've pastored for over 20 years, and I never had seen you. Well, it's probably been over 20 since I've been here. And I was thinking to myself, where would the church be if all the members were like that? Could we keep the lights on? But I want people to know that I love the church. I love the work of the church. I also want people to know that I'm not afraid and I don't worry about doing something for the church. That's what I love about many of you and many of the core members that we have. When something needs done, somebody steps up and gets it done. And I appreciate the fact that people are willing to do that. And they're willing to do it without having their name plastered on some plaque. They're willing to do it without having somebody stand up here and announce the fact that they did it. They just do it. And I appreciate that. And seeing little things and the big things. I told Brother Junior, he was talking about some work he does as a treasurer. And I told him, I said, you don't know how valuable you are in what you do. And the fact that you work so hard at making sure that it's accurate and correct. And that troubles his mind. But I appreciate the fact that he cares enough. And he doesn't go and gloat, and he doesn't go and talk. He does it privately and secretly. But you know what? The Lord just continues to bless, continues to provide, continues to give. So I know I'm not the only one. But I want my children to know that there's times in which we have gladly sacrificed things for the Lord because of what he has sacrificed for us. But I also want them to understand how good God has been to us. He has blessed us in so many ways. I want to be desired after I go. I want someone missing me. I want someone realizing that I was here. Wouldn't it be a shame to disappear from here and not be affected? I think sometimes of different ones. I know Deborah likes to go to camp, and I think of all the different ones that she's affected. The young people in camp and in school and so forth. And I know she has such a desire to go and do those things. I want them to see that I have an unshakable allegiance to the Lord, that I'm in it for the long haul. I want to see it through. I want to finish my race still in the house of God. I want to be able to have, if it's the will of God, I want to be able to be laid out at church. I'd much rather preach a funeral at church. But I'll tell you when it's hard. When whoever is in the casket does not feel familiar in church. When they're familiar, it's not hard at all. Man, we've had some glorious funerals. We've had some funerals where God just got in the middle of it. But I've had some where I've struggled to try to find something to say because it felt so uncomfortable and unfamiliar with this. And so therefore, it's important. I want them to witness, as the Bible says, a change. I want my friends to see that there was a change in my life. And sometimes my family hears of things, my children hears of things. Thank God they can't remember them, but they hear of things in my past life. I'm glad that they can see a change. I'm glad that it's there. Also, the Bible tells us that we have an anointing. I want them to think that I have a wisdom. Something that God has given us that we can have a better understanding than what the world has in giving answers to issues in life. And so therefore what we need to do is this. We need to remember that we need to leave something behind and just leaving and working for riches. I'll never forget, I visited a guy one time and tried to get him come to church. And he gave me this line. He said, well, he's a preacher, Saturday and Sunday is the only day I have off. And he said, the Bible teaches me I'm spending time with my family. So he said, we enjoy going on the lake and run up and down the lake in the boat and all that. And he said, I just spend my Sundays that way. And he said, I think God understands that it's important for me to be with my family. Well, he died, and I never seen him darken the church doors. His children quit, and they were coming to church at the time, and they quit. And I dare say now his grandchildren probably doesn't darken the doors either. Just like in the life of Jehoshaphat's family. The most important thing that we can do to our children is give them a spiritual upbringing to make an effect in their life and to be able to do something to help them because it's going to follow them. The Bible says to train up a child in the way in which it go. When it grows old, it will not depart from it. And even though sometimes you see a slight departure, as they get a little older, they'll be coming back. Because, and so therefore we find it's worth the effort of what we do. And so tonight, I know it's been a short and a little simple, but tonight I just want to encourage you. You ought to want to be desired. You ought to want to make a difference. I was thinking, Brother Roger, I'll pick on him again today. Brother Roger this morning, what he said about the children. And love to see those little kids and pick at them and play with them. And you know, they remember that. When you spend time with young people, they remember that. And they can tell when you care for them. That's why the Bible says in the book of Titus that we older men, we need to train the younger men. You older ladies need to train the younger ladies. And I really believe that we don't probably spend enough time. I was telling somebody this last week, I'm really going to try this year. I really like to spend, I like for the men to be able to take the young men out and do a couple of things this year and really do something that we can just spend some time together. And I like for ladies to do the same thing and just spend some time fellowshipping. If it's nothing but going out and camping out for a night and fishing, doing something like that, but just spending some time together. And so I think it's good, but at the same time, to show them, to help them, to spend time. Because I want to be desired when I leave. I would hate to think that I lived my life and when I died, no one desired. They didn't even think about me. No one even cared. I want to be missed. And I'm sure you do too. But the greatest thing that we could leave behind is a spiritual testimony, not great wealth. Great wealth doesn't guarantee anything. Most of the time what it guarantees, if that's all you leave them, is corruption. Be wise, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for your many blessings. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, most of all, we thank you for the time that you saved our souls. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, when you've stuck with us, when we strayed away. And Lord, you were able to bring us back. We're thankful, dear Heavenly Father, for your grace and your mercy, for your love through Christ Jesus that you've extended to us. We're thankful, dear Heavenly Father, that you give us access to the throne of grace. Lord, help us to have a testimony. And dear Heavenly Father, I was thinking yesterday as me and Rick was up there talking about Christian people, and Lord, how many Christians would be taken at a rapture. Lord, I was thinking about the importance of trying to affect lives. And Heavenly Father, we pray, forgive us of where we fail you. Go with us and lead, guide, and direct us. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this time tonight. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Eric.